In April 1995, breakfast radio in the UK was about to be turned on its head.
Chris Evans is a working-class lad from Warrington.
He will need to be managed.
It would never be quite the same again.
The disc jockey Chris Evans,
saviour of Radio 1.
Here we go.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show was about to launch on BBC Radio 1, and I was part of it.
He just came on with this optimism and energy and zest. Don't worry, I'm here now, it's going to be fine.
Chris went to Scotland on a Radio 1 roadshow and severely got up Highland noses.
God, no!
I'm Dan McGrath, or Dan the Soundman, and along with Holly Hotlips and Johnny Boy Revel, we were the team that probably woke you up every morning from the radio for a big chunk of the 90s. For the first time in 25 years, the three of us have got together again to share what really went on behind the scenes of the show that changed British radio forever.
Wonderful music, a talented jock, Monday to Friday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock.
This is Breaking Breakfast.
Hello, 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, go.
I'm staying out for the summer.
So it got to the summer of 1996, and everything was happening. The Britpop, Oasis, Blur competition, the Euro 96 with the football that we were very much involved in. And then we got a letter. We had a lot of listeners, didn't we, writing in, faxing in back then in the 90s. Yeah. And we got a letter from someone who lived in Driffield. And we were all in the studio. And I'm ashamed to say that none of us knew where Driffield was. And apparently it's in Yorkshire, North Yorkshire.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Well, we know that now.
We got on a train. But no, so basically we all talked about the fact that none of us knew where this place was. And that's how the first sort of outside broadcast began for our show on Radio 1. Because usually we would do the Radio 1 road shows that have been going on forever. But before we did the Radio 1 road shows, which were in August in 1996, in July, we did the Driffield Roadshow.
Well, well remembered, huh?
We planned it for the 5th of July, 1996. And we basically, on the air, just said, we all will get on a train and we will get some bands. And we had Dodgy. Do you remember Dodgy?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah,
they
yeah,
were singing yeah. And Space were there. They sang Female of the Species. And all these thousands of people came to the Driffield showground. And then mayhem ensued.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the showground Driffield, Danny Boy, Holly Hotlips, Jamie Studenbill, Justin the T-Boy, Tina Travel, Johnny Boy, and of course, Christoph Lemmy by the Magnificent Seven.
So up until that point, every road show that had been before us would feature the DJ, whoever that might be, Gary Davies or whoever, and they would literally just sit on the stage behind the desk
doing their show.
Yeah, doing their show.
But in front of spectators.
Yeah, in front with a few thousand people. Well, quite a lot of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Today, live from the home at Plymouth with Gary Davies!
And then they would, I think occasionally they would go out and throw out a few T-shirts and stuff. Of course, but we said, well, we're not doing any of that nonsense, are we? We're gonna pretend we're in a band and we are going to... Because Dan can sing.
Dan can sing. Yeah, and Chris likes singing.
I think they had his mic at half mast. But anyway, so and then we were away, weren't we?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on guitar Danny Boy!
And I had to go and find a backing track. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it was a backing track, sorry, if you ever watched it. And I got, Roll With It, and I think we looked at a Blur track, which we didn't do in the end, did we? And so that was it. We came out mimed to Roll With It.
I had a bass guitar that I pretended to play. You were on the keyboards, John.
Yeah.
And you were singing live into a mic. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it must have sounded dreadful on the radio. I just remember it being very visual. It was a visual show that was going out on Radio 1, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, that was what was so daft about it. We were playing.
But about 10,000 people there, I remember.
And also the whole crowd sang with us. Do you remember? I just remember an hour of the whole crowd constantly shouting and screaming and singing along with us. Jamie and Justin, who were with us, were the Hair Bear Bunch.
That's
so
right.
They did a lot of dancing.
That's right.
That went out on the radio, but obviously no one could see that, could they? While they're driving their cars.
In their underpants.
Do you remember you did Big John? Big John. Do you remember that? In Driffield?
What was that? What
Big
did that entail?
Was that? Big Bad John.
No.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know you're here for a few things, but I know you're most impressed by one thing. And that one thing is, of course, Big Bad Johnny Boy.
Go, Johnny, go! Can't wait to get your megaphone going and do some sort of announcement to people.
And I did a hot list of all the shop names or garage names in Driffield. And that was my hot list.
Can you remember
it? Texaco, South Street.
It was like, do you not remember? Oh my gosh. It was, and then we all got on the train and we came home.
Did we?
Yep. It was very funny.
We're very, very glad we came.
And then the following month, we did the Southwest.
We're into this.
Yeah.
Now it's a thing. It's a thing now.
The world famous road show on 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
So we covered the Southwest, which was part of the Radio 1 sort of series that they'd done annually. And we did St Ives and Newquay and Woolacombe and Weston-super-Mare and Tenby.
Yeah, that part of the country is a nightmare to drive around, isn't it, at the best of times. But certainly in the summer, you know, to try and navigate it in cars was a nightmare. However, that wasn't a problem for us, was it, Hol? Because we went by a helicopter.
We did for a bit. Well, yeah. I did for a bit. Yeah. You so did the whole time.
Yeah, but poor Dan.
Yeah, can I just say, I booked
the helicopter.
I booked that helicopter because, like, let's get a chopper. And, of course, with anything we would do on the air, the phone would start ringing with people going, do you want this, do you want that? So I'm like, great, helicopter. But also, I'll get an RV. That'll be funny because travelling around. All of us in the RV together, this will be brilliant. Be great fun. What transpired was I didn't get in the helicopter, neither did Justin or Jamie. You lot nabbed it.
Me and Chris and John.
You pulled rank.
Yeah.
I'm not as gorgeous as Holly, so I wasn't allowed in it. And then me, Justin and Jamie and whoever else was tagging along in this fucking RV.
The minute I saw it, I thought, I'll come in the helicopter with you, John.
I think I did a kind of MTV Cribs type thing when they were following us, filming the whole thing. So I took them around the RV.
This is the bedroom of the bus. Right, Jamie?
That's where you normally are, isn't it, Dan?
This bus, which was designed for the Magnificent Seven, has now got us three on it. Young Justin, young you, Jamie and me.
An old bloke, Dan.
Rest on the bus. This is the bed, right? But this bus is quite similar to a helicopter. You can't stand up in it, and it makes you feel sick when it moves around, so, you know. We're doing all right.
But how we manage shows every day. I mean, we did 5 days of shows. The outside broadcast unit of the BBC were just ahead of us, weren't they? One day ahead of us. Brilliant. Yeah. Setting up the stages. The people. I just remember the people, all the fans in every town. There just being thousands of them. And because we would go out and, you know, Chris is very recognisable, suddenly there would be 1,000 people following us through these villages and these towns. And we'd be drinking beers and throwing footballs at each other and throwing up.
The beauty of the roadshow is it doesn't start till 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we could have a late night.
Yeah. You know, it's ideal.
And then stagger
find
in.
Find the stage.
And because we do the same shtick every day, it didn't change, did it? So it's pretty much.
Do you remember having those we used to have production meetings just before we went on stage. And we'd have production meetings in a sort of truck backstage. Mm. And one of the bands that was sort of doing the warm-up of the crowd, it was Jem. He's now the guitarist with Oasis, isn't he? he was asleep in the truck backstage.
And
we had to. It was so like you say, it was 10 o'clock in the morning because they were doing the opening up bit, and we'd all pile in there. And I was sitting next to him with my notepad and my pen, and I was really trying to get over my hangover. And you know, what are we talking about today? What are we going to do? We're going to open with the Magnificent Seven, then we'll go into Oasis, and then we'll do John's this, and we'll do Honk Your Horn, and get the crowd involved. And this guy is asleep on my shoulder, and then someone opened the door and said, "Oi, Jim, you're on." And so he got on stage and started playing away. It's just ridiculous. And it was all the booze. And I remember my flatmate was with us. And when we were in Wales, in Tenby, you, John, said to her, you've got to go out and get as many footballs as you can so that we can kick them into the crowd. Mm. Consider this is 9 o'clock in the morning in Tenby. And we had Black Grape on as a band. And you said also the band want like vodka and any sort of alcohol you can find. And so she literally drove up the tiny little hill, went into this shop and just said, "I need all your footballs and I need all your alcohol because Radio 1's arrived." Came
or
back.
Thursday, as we call it.
Okay, if you want to know where we are, if you're in your car, if you're stuck in a traffic jam, then this is exactly where we are today in Great Britain. Danny Boy.
I should be in the rugby club, this is odd. Because a low button part of the England and the sun should shine and a lot of people. Four DJ.
Plus, we did that TV show. Do you remember Six Go Mad in Somerset?
Yeah, they were filming it.
They were filming it.
So they were filming it.
Which was a ginger production.
So it was, that's right. Yeah, keep it on. My mate Mitch was directing. Yeah. He stitched me right up.
Well, I remember coming into your bedroom, do you remember, that morning. So Mitch said to me, "John," he said, I want to capture Dan. So I've got the crew ready. Here's the master key. Let's go. So... there's a shot of me. I'm outside Dan's bedroom.
It's now 25 past nine. Dan got to bed at 5 o'clock. This is his room key, 302. We're going to go and wake him up.
So I put the key in really gently and open it. And as I open the door, Dan's the other toy because he was just going to the toilet. And he went, "Whoa!" And, "Oh!" And he scared the fucking daylights out of me. And I scared the daylights out of him. And he's standing there, bollock naked.
I know.
Good morning.
Go away!
How are you?
Hey, Joanna, this is...
Johnny, get up!
This is Danny Boy in all his regal splendour.
So we piled in, you know, where the crew, the sound, camera, Mitch behind us, we all pile
in. What were you expecting to find in there?
Well, who knows? Who knows, Daniel, what we would find? But there was nothing... Yeah, and it was a bit of an anticlimax, really.
Oh, it was very funny. So after the crazy summer of 1996, we then were back in Egerton House in London for the rest of our shows until our outside broadcast in Scotland in Inverness happened because Chris decided that London was polluted. And then...
that was probably after the Grand Prix we did.
Yeah.
So we all decided we would go up to Inverness. I can't remember how long we went for. It was quite a few days and it was just a disaster.
I think we found that there was a BBC studio in Inverness that would have us.
BBC Scotland.
BBC Scotland. And there was a studio that was free and they were
My recollection was that Chris said we should go for 2 weeks. It would be great. We'd go to Scotland for 2 weeks. It'd be brilliant. And then Titch McCluey, who was a very famous disc jockey in Scotland.
McCluey.
Anyway, McCuey. Titch. He phoned in, and I think whoever was taking the call said, "There's Titch McCuey on the phone." And Chris goes, put him on. "Hey, Titch, you're brilliant. Are you? You're the star in Scotland. We can't wait to meet you. We're coming up. It'll be great to see you." So we then go off to Scotland, don't we? For some obscure reason, we couldn't find accommodation anywhere. And there must have been something going on. Do you remember? We did stay in a hotel, but I think we could only stay there for a couple of days. And we walk into the hotel bar, obviously, and sitting in the corner at the bar was Titch McCuey with a mate. And somebody said to me, a few people milling about, and I think one of the PR people said, "Oh, Titch McCuey's here." So I went over to say hello to him. And I came back and I said to Evo, "Oh, there's Titch McCuey over there." And he went, "Oh." Sadly, Titch heard that, right, and kind of left. in a bit of a half. But of course, he's a big star in Scotland on the radio, so he's very well connected. So he then goes to the Scottish Sun, phones up the Scottish Sun, tells them, you know, this story, and it wheels
blew up.
Really came on very rapidly, didn't they? Because we then go on the air the next day,
yeah,
and the press are outside and they are gunning for us. And I say us, that's the royal us, because they were going for Chris.
Yeah.
And they really went for him, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think also what didn't help probably was us Sassenachs had turned up wearing kilts and Timberland boots. And, you know, the whole thing.
It was very unplanned.
Like, you lot really shouldn't be up here now.
Yeah, yeah.
Go away. Yeah. So we had to kind of smuggle Chris in and out.
We did have to take him out in the boot of the car. Because it was really getting quite nasty. And
we were getting followed, weren't we? I remember. And we were trying to do radio shows every morning.
I don't know if we had security with us at that point. I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
It was very unplanned.
Yeah, and we had to take him out in the boot of the car.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And it was one of those things where that little thing happened that shouldn't have happened, and then it snowballed.
It snowballed, yeah.
And it was out of control. And so the whole Scotland trip was a disaster. Even our radio shows, I think, were a disaster. I don't quite remember what we even talked about.
Yeah.
I remember being in the hotel, in the castle in Scotland, and at 2 o'clock in the morning being woken up by you and Dan, John, because you'd put a walkie-talkie in my fireplace in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And done ghost noises.
We rigged something up as well so we could pull a handle and something metal would move around
because
in the fireplace.
They said this castle, when we arrived... When we arrived at this castle, there was a bloke who was like the keeper of the castle, and it was a bit weird looking. And I went up and shook his hand, but it was a false hand. He only had one arm, and I grabbed this false hand and I went, "Whoa!"
Did he notice?
It all started from there.
And then out came the story that, it's haunted and all of this. So I said to Dan, right, because we were all sharing a room and Holly was on her own. So that's when we got our walkie-talkies and we put it up the chimney.
Honestly.
And then we had to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I set my alarm. I woke up at 2 o'clock. I thought, what's your alarm? I thought, oh, no, we've got to make... And then we were like...
Let's scare Holly.
And we're like, is this working?
I think we had more fun.
And then suddenly our bedroom door opened. It was Holly with the walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Like, you there
too.
You go.
Got to be up and
log it off.
Even though it was funny, we always had funny situations, but because we were having such a bad time off the air, when we went on the air for our radio shows, I don't think they were very memorable It just started on the wrong foot.
Completely.
And then it went
upsetting
haywire.
Titch was not a good move.
You know, that wasn't a good thing. And upsetting the Scottish generally. But don't look back in anger. Don't look back in anger.
I heard you say. And we had a lot of fun, didn't we? But OB-wise, I think Scotland was the last thing we did.
Next time on Breaking Breakfast.
You introduced me to Tina Ritchie.
And he's banging on the door and I'm trying to read the news in a really calm way. Carry on, Tina, just carry on. And then the Daily Bloody Mirror followed me around for 2 weeks.
If it isn't brilliant, why am I doing it?
And he said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I've created this monster. And then it all just really started to implode.
I'm Dan McGrath and this is Breaking Breakfast. Leave us a review or rating and please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Use the hashtag Breaking Breakfast or one word to talk about it on social. It's recorded at Canon Studios and the series producer is Nick Goodman. Breaking Breakfast is a Bounce production.